You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange, indeed, if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I could, I'd make you understand. If I could, I'd make you understand. There's no hurry, it's gonna come for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had several calls today, all telling me that Hinkson went off the deep end last night, ranting and raving. I thought it was pretty humorous. Wished I could have heard it. If any of you taped it, send it to me. By the way, from what I have heard of that broadcast, if you want some entertainment and you'd like to hear some really nutty, crazy people, telling you everything in the world you never thought you'd ever hear, and with no substantiation or anything, documentation behind it, listen to the Hinkson Show. I guarantee you'll get a good laugh. And they even have a disclaimer, I understand. Somebody sent to me in a letter today, got their disclaimer down there. It says that This program is for entertainment purposes only. Basically, what the disclaimer says is don't believe a word you hear here. And from what I've heard of it, that's exactly right. But it's good entertainment, folks, and I recommend that you listen to it. You'll get for entertainment purposes. The minute you start believing what you're going to hear on that broadcast, then you need a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because they're the only people that can deal with that kind of insanity, because they're insane themselves. I have a little tidbit of, oh, by the way, that little blurb that I did in the beginning of the broadcast, I want to see if anybody can identify who wrote it. That's why I did it. Who wrote that? And I'm not going to read it again, but you know who wrote it, give us a call. We're going to take calls tonight, folks. The number is 520-333-4578. We'll be taking calls the whole hour. Anything you want to talk about, I don't care. I just want to take a little break and get some input from the listeners. This is from the May 1994 issue of Police Magazine, which is a popular law enforcement publication, which is published by Hare Publications, a division of Dyna Corporation of Carlsbad, California. I guess it's Carlsbad, California. And what it says in this Police Magazine, folks, is a little bit on the incredible side. I got to tell you, this is really something. There was a debate surrounding what to do with confiscated firearms in police departments. And the debate was on what to do with weapons you collect on the street. And one of the biggest answers was this, ladies and gentlemen. Confiscating and destroying guns as soon as possible moves toward the ultimate goal of disarming the general public. You heard it from the horse's mouth, Police Magazine. And this is the reason given by police officers across the country why they should confiscate and destroy guns. Quote, confiscating and destroying guns as soon as possible moves toward the ultimate goal of disarming the general public. Just like I've always told you, I'm sorry to say I was right once again. I'm getting tired of being right. I really am. But I am. I'm right. By golly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
I enjoy your program a lot.
I hope you don't enjoy it. Most of the stuff you hear on this broadcast is not something that you would enjoy, but might be glad to hear because it might help save your butt at some future date.
Well, that's certainly something to be happy about. So, I called you about 6 months ago, and I wanted to discuss the concept of if socialists want to disarm us, then why are communist countries sending their SKSs and other cheap weaponry over here? And you gave me back an answer saying that the way communist revolutions take place is through local insurrections, and it gives an excuse.
Yes, they want to anger the American people. They're going to make a grab for the guns. They're flooding the country with cheap weapons and cheap ammunition. And when that happens, they want the people to revolt and create a state of utter chaos for which the World Police Organization of the United Nations and the military forces of the United States and Russia will be fully justified in the eyes of the sheeple in killing anybody and everybody that opposes them. And the sheeple will get down on their knees and beg for control and the restoration of order, and they will do anything to feel safe and secure again. And that's how these people study history. I mean, it's no mystery.
Sure. I understand that concept, but I was going to just throw this idea at you.
Sure, go ahead.
It seems like the people who are buying the weapons, though, are the people who want to preserve America's America as a republic, and I realize that there, of course, is a percentage of people who are just going to buy it out of fear and for whatever reason. But it seems like the people who may stockpile or what have you would be the people who are interested in either preserving their own butt or preserving the United States as a constitutional republic.
Well, I beg to differ with you. There are a minority of people in this country who even know what a constitutional republic is. That ought to be...
All right, point well taken.
That ought to be a big answer to your question. Number two, have you ever listened to the rhetoric of the National Rifle Association?
Yes.
Did you see how quickly they condemned militias?
Yeah.
Did you see how quickly they condemned so-called patriots as being radical, yet they call themselves patriots?
Sure. You know, it's a political organization like anything else, and
they couldn't do it
off sounding too radical.
No, they couldn't do it without the support and the full approval of their membership. You see, they're still on the board of directors. They're still in their offices. Nobody called for their recall or called for them to step down, did they?
Yeah, you've got a point there.
You're damn right I got a point. I got a whole bunch of them. I could talk the whole hour on exactly what's going to happen and why, who's going to bring it about, who's going to resist and who's not going to resist, and who's going to beg for control.
Okay, I've got two other concepts I want to discuss that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
One of which is, the Constitution...
Oh, by the way, I want to ask you, did you know who I was quoting from at the beginning of the hour? Yes or no?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Go ahead.
The Constitution obviously has a provision in the Second Amendment for the personal bearing of arms.
No, it's not a provision.
It is a limitation on the...
On the government.
It states that the government cannot infringe on the
right. Says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It is the active clause of the second article of the amendment. It is dead, cold, written in stone.
Right, I realize that. What I want to ask now is, where would you draw the line on what types of weapons would constitute... bearing of arms by an individual citizen. I mean...
There is no line. You can own any weapon you want to as long as you pay the proper tax.
Okay.
Did you know that? You can own an M1 tank if you pay the tax.
Yeah.
You know that you...
Oh, if you pay the destructive...
You can own the ammunition, too, as long as you pay the tax.
Sure.
You know that if they...
It's done, and you have to pay the tax.
You know that if the Branch Davidians had an automatic weapon... If they had paid the $200 tax, all those people would still be alive today. But they didn't even have an automatic weapon.
Well, I mean, that's hard to say that they would still be alive today.
They would still be alive. Supposedly, the raid was because they had automatic weapons.
Well, that's the justification they used.
Well, if he'd have paid a $200 tax, they couldn't have made the raid for that reason, could they?
No, they would have come up with another reason.
Maybe. We don't know that.
Right. Okay, it just seems that if you have a weapon that will infringe on someone else's rights...
No. It's all about money, it's all about control, and it's all about taxes. Do you realize that if Randy Weaver had paid the tax for a sawed-off shotgun, Vicky Weaver would be alive today, his son would be alive today, he would never have been wounded, and his friend would never have been wounded, and those little girls would not have been traumatized for the rest of their life by seeing their mother's head blown off, laying in a pool of blood on the floor.
I understand. Okay, what I'm saying is...
You see, those people were killed for a few dollars that he didn't pay in taxes. And it's a method of controlling and intimidating the population.
I would say it would be more of a method of controlling and intimidating the population than a tax issue.
No, it was a tax issue. If he had paid the tax, they could not have done it.
Well, they could not have done it, but they would have wanted to do it. So I would say...
Well, wait a minute. You can't guess about these things. You don't know what's in their mind. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. We deal with facts on this broadcast. The fact is, if he'd have paid the tax on that shotgun that was only 1/4 inch shorter than the so-called legal limit, and I don't think Randy Weaver even knew it was sawed off anyway. I don't think he knew it was shorter than the legal limit, but that's beside the point. It doesn't matter. The fact is, if he had just paid a few dollars, those people would be alive. They brought 500 federal agents in there, armored personnel carriers, tanks, weapons up the kazoo, and killed people for a few dollars over the length of a barrel that was 1/4 of an inch too short.
Well, that was my point. I was saying they didn't do it for the $200 because they wasted all the money by bringing the people in there.
Well, they did. That's the only reason that they did it.
I suppose it could the concept of why they did it could be...
No. You don't understand this broadcast. We deal with facts. Now, you can go write a novel or make up a fantasy or create a script for a wonderful story on television. But when you're talking on this broadcast, we deal with facts. The fact is, they went after him...
For the $200?
Because he didn't pay it. He sold a shotgun that was 1/4 inch too short without having paid the proper tax to be able to do it.
Okay. All right. I wanted to discuss one more thing, and that is, you've mentioned several times that the purpose of the militia is to enforce the law to...
No. Enforce the laws of the Union.
Okay.
It's the exact wording in the Constitution for the United States of America. Each state has a different reason, and you have to go to each different state's constitution to determine what the state, what the purpose of the militia for the state is. But for the Constitution for the United States of America, it's to enforce the laws of the Union, repel invasion, and suppress insurrection.
Okay. Then, given that, would you say that a correct use of the militia would be to protect the borders of the United States, like along the U.S.-Mexican border?
No.
No, it is not.
That's not a function, in the first place, of the United States government to protect the borders of the states. That's a state function which the United States government has commandeered for itself. For instance, the border between the state of Arizona and Mexico is not a function of protection for the United States government. It's the business of the citizens of the state of Arizona.
Okay, so should the citizens that comprise the militia of, you know, in the counties of Arizona, do they have a responsibility to protect the border?
No, not unless they're called upon to do so by the governor.
Okay,
In the state of Arizona, the purpose of the militia is the same as the purpose of the militia in the Constitution for the United States of America. Unless there's an invasion, an insurrection, or we have to enforce the laws of the state, which means the Constitution of the state of Arizona, the militia has no function.
Okay, is immigration from Mexico into Arizona against Arizona law then?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
but,
think
but
there
if
is.
If it were, you could make the case that
only if
there would be a role for it.
No, only if the governor called up the militia to do it.
Okay.
Now, when it comes time for the militia to act, is if the governor and the government of the state of Arizona blatantly disregards and disobeys the Constitution for the state of Arizona and or the Constitution for the United States of America.
Okay.
And oppresses the people. Then we don't need the governor, we don't need the Congress, we don't need the president. It is our duty and our responsibility to restore the Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land.
Okay, so then the only time that the militia can act when the Constitution was, when the constraints in the Constitution were not being broken would be when the governor called you up.
That's correct.
Okay.
Or, in the case of insurrection or invasion, where lines of communication are not established, it is the duty and responsibility of the militia to form and to oppose the insurrection and to oppose the invasion, and they don't need to wait for a call up by the governor, but in most instances, there would be.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your information and your view on things.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
My view is always within the law, ladies and gentlemen. And all you got to do to know what my viewpoint is going to be on something like that is study the law. Good evening. You're on the air.
I didn't think I'd ever get there. That was a heck of a debate, Phil.
Who's this?
This is Mike in Pennsylvania.
Oh, hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm one of the very few public officials in Pennsylvania who not only listens to shortwave, but when when I took my oath of office on the 2nd of January, I did so on the Bible. Underneath of that was a copy of the United States Constitution, and underneath of that was a copy of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Fantastic.
Hey, I'm trying to get more and more of us out there in public life.
That's great.
Now, to answer your question, Thomas Paine.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And when did he do it? It was at a time when the spirits of the Patriot Army were flagging, and he did it as a means to kind of at least shame them a little bit into finishing what they started, and they did.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was Valley Forge, December 23rd, 1776.
You know, the part of Valley Forge that I always look at, I've been to Valley Forge. I slept there at Valley Forge. I was in the guard, and I was there covering a reenactment. And it's a very sobering place if you walk around it and don't look at it like it's a nifty little park with squirrels and trees, but look at it for what happened there. And one of my favorite and sobering quotes of what it always meant to be a United States soldier during the time that I served was this quote by George Washington, which went, "You might have tracked the army from White Marsh to Valley Forge by the blood of their feet." And that was only a 13-mile march.
Yes, but his statement was true. Many of them had frostbite. They didn't have shoes. Their feet were cut and bleeding, and some of them were losing toes along the way.
Absolutely. And these guys stuck it out, and they stuck it out through probably the most adverse time, the worst winter that we had there at the time, and they did it for us. And all we did was lay down our butts and sleep and not do a thing about it. And now, well, history may repeat itself. I don't know.
Well,
I sure hope that Americans are strong and stand tall.
All of our efforts are that history doesn't repeat itself, but we are preparing that should it repeat itself, we will be able to prevail.
Oh, I think we will. All we got to do is wake up that American spirit, and it's still out there. I talk to people every day, and I try to keep them looking, get them to go back and read those documents, the founding papers, and to find out just exactly what was meant. What rights did your grandfather have? Did your great-grandfather have? And even to look at it in the lifetime of one individual, I'm 40 years old, and I look around at teenagers, and they're constantly being harassed for one thing or another, for things that used to just be fun when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
No, they grow up with fewer and fewer freedoms, and that's because we tolerate it for them, and we shouldn't tolerate it. We should put our foot down and say, no, enough is enough.
Well, I did a long time ago, and that's why I'm here behind this microphone.
Well, I'm glad you're there, because I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, and I enjoy each and every show.
Well, thank you.
You're worth staying up late for at night.
Well, I hope so.
Hey, keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And, well, got an answer to the little thing there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes.
Turn off
your radio.
I've got it down. My dogs and coyotes are around here close half, and dogs are howling.
Okay. Can you talk a little louder?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I
can. I have one comment to make and a couple questions.
Sure.
I just saw in McElvaney's intelligence report that Rush Limbaugh became a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And one of the questions I'd like to ask, have you ever heard of a man by the name of Jay Merrill?
Doesn't ring a bell.
That put out some sovereignty tapes.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell. Supposedly from Phoenix. We've been trying to run him down. And one other thing, there's a fella that wrote a book, The Law That Never Was.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Have you read the book, or what do you think about the man?
I have the book.
It's a pretty good book.
Well, it's true, but it has no bearing upon the income tax.
It doesn't.
No. The 16th Amendment, the Supreme Court has ruled that the 16th Amendment did not give the Congress any new powers of taxation. The 16th Amendment argument is a waste of time as far as income tax goes. You don't need it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, but I haven't seen a judge yet or a case yet where the judge would even listen to that kind of an argument anyway.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's valid. It was never properly ratified, and it is not a law because of that. But it did not give the Congress any new powers to tax the United States citizens are the citizens of the several states. It had to do with other people, other entities.
It has no bearing on it.
No, none at all.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Boy, you could sure hear those coyotes out there, or the dogs, or whichever it was. And, you know, once he told me that, then I could recognize it. Sounded like a radio echo, you know, and it was, that was a lot of coyotes, that's all I got to say. But we've had the same, when we first moved into this house on the top of this mountain, nobody had lived in this house for quite some time. And as soon as they got the smell of old Sugar Bear, we were surrounded by coyotes for quite a few nights, yipping and yapping and howling at the moon. And Sugar Bear would run away and play with them for hours at a time. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper, I was wondering what your thoughts on Steve Forbes.
You really want to know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's probably not good. I was wondering what I just noticed him on TV, and I usually catch your broadcast about twice a week, and I can keep up on everybody, but I just wonder what is his position.
Forbes is a member of the elite, a member of the establishment. He is behind the Fortune 500 magazine and the big corporations, and his so-called flat tax is unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful.
So he's just part of the problem like the rest of them.
You better believe it. And if you buy into that, he has no limit on it. And Congress can change it any time they want to, if you go for it. So it might start out at 17%. I guarantee in a few years it's going to be 60%.
Oh, sure. Whatever they would establish, it's not going to be in your favor.
Absolutely. And everybody is running around, oh, what? Boy, I'd rather have a flat tax than pay 28% or 30% or whatever it is.
And have a reduction as if that's, even good enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you much.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I'd like to have your address. I'd like to send you a article that is in this month's Playboy magazine that I'm sure you would find very interesting. It's called Founding Father Fakery. And it's saying that, quote, firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself was not said by George Washington. They tear it all apart. And they get into a lot of things about Washington.
Wait a minute. I never said he said that.
No, I know you didn't.
Oh, who
I know
did?
You did, but I'm saying...
Who did?
It said in the... All it says in here is... I've been trying to look it up myself. In the December form...
That's a favorite socialist ploy, is to claim that somebody said something that... I've never heard anybody say that.
Okay.
So that they're saying that somebody said George Washington said that, but they don't say who. They say said he said it.
No, they don't. They say that it was in his first address to the second session of the first U.S. Congress.
Anybody can get that address because it's on record. And you can read it and you can see for yourself whether he said it or not. But I wouldn't take Playboy's word for anything.
Yeah, okay. Well, then
or any other magazine for that matter.
Well, I just found it interesting because then it goes into where they give their own things where George Washington, in the address presented on January 8, 1790, he wrote that a free people ought not to be armed but disciplined, to which end a uniform and well-digested plan is requisite. He was anticipating the consideration of a militia bill by Congress and wanted to make sure that the law ensured the subordination of militiamen to properly constituted national authority. And then it goes on with a whole bunch of things of...
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything unless you have the actual text of what he really said to read that along with it.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I understand that, and I've been doing some digging trying to find this. But I would like to have you... I would like to send you this whole thing. I'll send you a copy of this and let you read it, because there's a lot of things in there that I think you would find pretty... I did. As a matter of fact, I thought it was...
Well, send it on.
I don't have your address, sir. I'm a...
P.O. Box 1420.
P.O. 1420.
Sholo, Arizona.
Okay, sir.
85901.
Okay. I just thought it would be something that you would be interested in reading, and in your way you can tear it apart the way you do, and we can all sit back and listen to it.
Well, they might be right, but my interest, my only interest in it would be if it's false, or if it's misleading, or if it's lying to people, would be to expose that to the sheeple out there who would never check its accuracy themselves, but would blindly believe that if they printed in place. Brought to you by Swiss America Trading, 100% good people who deal in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. Now, don't take that all too seriously, because non-confiscatable, non-reportable means it is only until they pass a law that says it isn't. Okay? But right now, it isn't. Which means it's best to get your hands on it when it isn't than when it is. Because when it is, there'll be a record made of it, and they'll know who to go to get it, to confiscate it, when ownership of it is made 100% illegal. And you don't want that to happen to you. Because I guarantee you, on the black market, in the back alleys, in places where they are selling what you need to survive, that you will not be able to find in the stores, or that will be too highly priced in the stores, the only currency is going to be real money or barter for goods of the same value. So if you'd like to prepare yourself, and I would hope that you would want to prepare yourself. Now, unlike all of these other clowns out there, I'm not telling you that you're going to make a whole bunch of money, or you're going to get a big investment, or it's going to appreciate so much percent over the next few years, because, quite frankly, my dear Scarlett, I just don't give a damn. The important thing for us to know is that it does not lose its value. You can buy the same number of loaves of bread today, tomorrow, 100 years ago, 200 years from now, and 5,000 years ago with an ounce of gold as you could at any of those times. Same thing with an ounce of silver. It changes value. It goes up and down. And if you're doing it as an investment and you don't know what you're doing, you could lose money. What you call money, paper. Federal Reserve counterfeit fraud notes. But you can never lose the value or the purchasing power of those coins. So if you'd like to get your hands on some real money, if you'd like to preserve the value of at least some of your assets, and folks, when the economy does collapse and paper fails, you're going to find that if you don't panic, and no matter what happens, don't even look at the price of gold and silver, no matter what happens, if you hang on to it, you're going to be the king when it's all over. 1-800-289-2646. Talk to Frank. Tell him you're a listener to the Hour of the Time, and he'll give you red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. If Frank's not available, talk to anybody down there. Same thing, red carpet treatment. Ask for the newsletter. Get your hands on some real money. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Ken from New Jersey. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I was, the Mike called there from Pennsylvania. I was wondering if I could make an announcement about that Valley Forge reenactment. It'll be,
Yep, make it quick.
February 18th at 12 noon. And, come on.
Where at?
It's at Valley Forge, Valley
okay.
Park.
The reason I had to ask you that is because in different parts of the country, they reenact these battles without being at the actual battlefield.
Oh, no. We do the whole thing is totally reenacted, camp out all weekend. You know, and those men really had it hard. You alluded to the fact that they didn't have any shoes. Well, if you really look into it, the gentlemen ate their shoes because they didn't have any food.
Yeah, well, and only so much I can say.
Oh, I understand.
And most Americans who've had it so good all their life don't understand what we're talking about anyway.
That's
the truth. They can't even imagine it.
You're exactly right. And, I reenact these all over the East Coast at the actual sites when we do the campouts and everything like that. And it's really disheartening to hear people in the crowds when you walk by in full dress, you know, and they just, they're not with it, you know, what side's he on? You know, if you're in a red coat or...
Oh, that's absolutely no
excuse. Good guys, Mommy. Who's the, you know, it's really something to hear these things.
Yeah, no excuse for that. That's real sheeple when you run into those kind of people.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I had a friend come out and watch me at the one we had locally here in New Jersey, and a friend of mine was in tears when he had overheard something like that, who knows you and, you know, people like ourselves, and it's very disheartening to hear those things, but I work with the Boy Scouts and a volunteer and the Girl Scouts, and I teach them, you know, I volunteer free.
Good.
These things, and I don't want no money. People say, well, why do you do these things for free? I don't want no money to do these things.
Yeah, but be careful.
Yes,
you know what these scumbags will do.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're teaching the children the truth, they'll set you up on a child molestation charge.
Exactly, and something has...
So you just make sure you're never alone with those children. Make sure there are plenty of witnesses around.
Absolutely. I'm always there with the curator anyway. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way because my daughter helps me, and, you know, she's with me most of the time anyways. But we're out there fighting a battle, and we're informing people, and I just want to remind everybody, February 18th in the Delaware Valley area, that come on out. I'm a member of the 2nd Pennsylvania Regiment of the 1st Continental, and I'll be looking forward to see you out there.
Yeah, you know, most Americans don't understand that there was a 1st Continental Army or even what it was. And, you know, when I talk about the 2nd Continental Army of the Republic, they have no idea the relationship there.
and they also don't know what the militia and the Continentals and the difference between that back then was.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And the militia were basically, when they got tired of fighting, they would go home and eat dinner with their folks. And George Washington got all upset about this, and he started shipping. He couldn't make the people in the militia move out of their state until later on in the battle, in the war. But what he would do is ship them into another part of the state so they just wouldn't run home to, you know, get their folks. And whenever they get tired of fighting, they would leave.
Well, we're going to have some of the same problems. I heard a militia captain once tell me that he would not deploy his unit to another area because he didn't want to leave his store.
Right.
I almost rolled to the right then and there. I said, "Yeah, you know, you're out of it. You're out of it. You're no militia commander. You're a bum."
I believe I know who you're talking about. But anyway, one of my heroes was I sit right here where Marquis de Lafayette, and he is one of my heroes. Fought his battle right here in Gloucester City.
Yeah.
And it's some really good stuff, and I've learned from you how to do the studying. and to go back. For 3 years now, I've been listening, and I mean, I just had a whole new, seems like I've been to school all over again, or college, or I'm turning into like a historian, local historian here. So you go to all the university and get the original maps written by the foreign commanders and the German commanders. I mean, it's a real neat thing to do when someone teaches you and you could adhere to a principle not to believe anything.
Yeah.
Until you can really see the real McCoys in front of your face. It's a neat thing. But look, I don't want to hold you up, so you have a good night, Bill.
Thank you, and thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
520-333-45... Getting tongue-tied here. 4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill, just a minute. Turn on the radio.
Hurry up.
There you go, Bill. Heard your discussion a few minutes ago about Forbes and the flat tax.
Yeah.
And it's very valid. As a matter of fact, all of the tax theories are meaningless because as long as the government can willfully confiscate your wealth, they're going to do it.
Sure. But the basic thing is, and people should be standing up and stating this loud and clear at all these political meetings, and you know, they should be calling these bums what they are: bums, traitors, scumbags,
right,
criminals, right, crooks, liars.
I'm trying to get a movement started here in Pennsylvania to get a constitutional amendment that will limit the taxes any American citizen can pay to a fixed percentage without a declaration of war or a declaration of crisis unanimously passed by the Congress.
Now, wait a minute. Why are you going to do that? Because if they establish taxes within the limits of the restrictions of the Constitution and the constitutions of the states, there's no danger of that.
Well,
the only legal taxes really are excises, imposts, and duties.
That is correct, but unfortunately what we've got now is that every little political subdivision in the country thinks that they can willfully tax.
Yeah, but you don't fall into their scam by agreeing with them and saying you can tax us, but only up to this percent. What you do is say, you cannot tax us, it's illegal, unlawful, and constitutional, knock this crap off now, or we're going to throw you all out on your butts.
Well,
you won't even be able to get a job as dog catcher. You're crooks, you're liars, you're criminals, you're traitors.
Well, we keep attempting that, and
If you get this issue of Veritas, it tells you how to do it.
Well, that's something I need to talk to you about off the air anyway.
Not me. Call Veritas. I'm not Veritas.
Okay. Is Veritas still at the same place?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Don't fall into their crap, ladies and gentlemen. If it's unlawful, illegal, unconstitutional, and wrong, don't give in to it. I mean, if we're going to be good people, if we're going to live by the law, if we are who we say we are, and we are for what we say we're for, then we must be that, heart and soul. And a man or woman who's not willing and ready to die for their principles is already dead, in my estimation, and is no use or consequence to anyone, not even themselves. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. This is Shannon from North Carolina. I've been listening to you for the last couple of months. Enjoy your program. My question is, talking about before the flood on the economy, what's the best time frame for the most time that we have left?
I don't have a crystal ball. God doesn't whisper in my ear. I'm not a psychic, and I don't know anything about magic, except that it's the art of illusion.
I understand that, but what would be the best in years what we would have?
I can't tell you that. I don't know. I just told you. All I know is it's going to happen. They plan to have their world government in place by the year 2000. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, don't ask me how much time we got. It doesn't make any difference. We're out of time. What difference does it make? If I tell you 3 years, what are you going to do? Sit on your couch for another 2 years before you start even thinking about it? God, don't make me angry with the bullshit calls, okay? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Turn off your radio.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Goodbye. Don't call me with your radio on. Don't call any any radio broadcast with your radio on, folks. I've said it 5 million times. Every broadcaster in this country has said it 5 million times, and you still do it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
This is Dave Young in Casper, Wyoming.
Yes.
We've had a lot of trouble up here from anywhere from 6 to 27 helicopters. Italian pilots sent them.
Uh-huh.
And we went to our local sheriff and stuff, and we can't seem to get anything done. Have you got any questions, or, I mean, have you got any answers for us up here?
Well, contact the military. Contact the United States government. Contact the FAA. Contact the sheriff and the state government. If all of them say that they don't belong to them, they don't know anything about them, and they can't do anything, and they're flying over pointing guns at you, then you're being invaded. Call out the militia and deal with them.
That's exactly what's happening, and we have talked to all those people.
Well, if they say they're not United States, if they say they're not state, they're not law enforcement, they're not sheriff, they're not police, they don't belong to the National Guard, they don't belong to the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, or the Coast Guard, it must be an invasion from a foreign force.
Is this happening anywhere else that you're aware of?
Happened all over the country.
Bill, I've read your book, sold your books. I appreciate your comment. I've been a long time getting through to you. That's been going on here for several months, and that started out with 6 choppers, and now it's going up to...
Well, just tell them, you know, call them and say, if somebody doesn't claim ownership of these helicopters, they're flying over, they're pointing guns at us, they are violating the law, they're flying below 500 feet, they're flying rooftop level, they're scaring the hell out of everybody. If the United States government doesn't own them, if the Air Force doesn't own them, if the Navy doesn't own them, if the Marines doesn't own them, if the Army doesn't own them, if law enforcement doesn't own them, if the sheriff doesn't own them, if the FAA tells us they don't know anything about them, then we must be being invaded by a foreign force, right?
Well, that's correct. It's hard for the public to deal with.
Well, just tell those people that when you call them and ask who they belong to and what they're going to do about it. And tell them that. And tell them if we're being invaded by a foreign force, we have a right to defend ourselves against them.
The other thing we have asked them and demanded of them that they reveal Presidential Directive 25 to us.
They're not going to reveal it. It's classified. They don't have to reveal it.
We've got a representative named Alan Simpson that's supposed to be able to...
They don't have to reveal it to Congress either if it's classified.
And they haven't, right?
And they haven't. That's right.
Are our national parks that turned into the biosphere, is that part of the PDD 25?
I have no idea. I've never read PDD 25. Have you?
No, sir.
Then how would I know?
Pretty stupid question, huh? Bill, I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for calling.
You bet, sir.
520-333-4578. I bet you if you take that tack with these helicopters intimidating people and scaring people, somebody is going to claim ownership real quick. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Charlie down Tucson again.
Hello, Charlie.
You had a good program tonight. Kind of hated to interfere with it, but last night you had a slip of the tongue. Kind of let a scoundrel off the hook.
What's that?
When you was reading some of your quotes from Veritas One, you said in 1935 Theodore Roosevelt made a quote. It would have been Franklin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Franklin.
Yeah, you said Theodore. I thought.
Yeah, well, I do that. One night I was talking about Thomas Jefferson, and I kept saying Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
Nobody caught it. Nobody listening caught it. I caught it myself a few days later listening to the tape.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. Nobody out there caught it, and there I was, the whole broadcast, talking about Thomas Jefferson and on the same subject that I talked about before. And every time I was to say Thomas Jefferson, I said Benjamin Franklin. We all make mistakes.
Well, sure we do, and I know it was a mistake, so I just wanted to let you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, Bill.
And I'm glad you did. Anytime I make a mistake, folks, I want to know about it, and I want the listening audience to know about it.
Well, I know that. I know you did, so I gave you a call.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill. Keep up the good work.
You too.
You bet.
And you keep listening to my find my mistakes.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
Good night.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about this from the U.S. Statutes 35-36 definitions. It says, when used in this act, the term state...
Didn't you call me one night with the same stuff?
Yeah, it's just a little...
Good night. We don't repeat the same stuff on this broadcast, folks, unless I decide to do it. And the only reason I'll decide to do it is if I get some indication that everybody was confused when we first talked about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
James in Texas.
Hi.
Bill, have you seen the movie Return to Oz? Kind of a sequel, part two to the original Wizard of Oz.
I think I was opening mail while it was on the television set one day, but I tell you the truth, I just caught snatches of it and wasn't really paying attention.
I'll have to send you a copy because I think you'd enjoy it. You always play, every now and then you play clips from the original Wizard of Oz.
Well, the original tells a story. It's an esoteric movie that's really telling a story about something entirely different than what all the children and the people who watch it think it's telling.
And the return is the same thing. The chicken plucks a key out and hands it to Dorothy. And I just finished reading Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of helped me out a little bit there.
Okay.
But and I'm enjoying the FM, the new radio I got.
Great, wonderful.
And
we're not offering those anymore.
Really?
Really.
It was a real good deal. Works real good.
Well,
I'm going to miss the symbology out of Veritas.
Well, I will too, but the we're having problems. See, the guy who wrote that column is a friend who volunteered to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he was making demands on us that we couldn't meet because we don't have time. We don't have a big newspaper staff and all kinds of stuff. And I was sending him a whole bunch of stuff. And I guess he got upset, and now he's pouting, and he's not going to write the column anymore, and that's okay with me. I don't have time for that kind of childish stuff.
Right. Enjoyed the NASA Moon to America, too. That was a real interesting book.
Yeah, it's great. I hope as many of you as possible get a chance to go to the meeting in New Jersey. And actually meet Renee and see his presentation on the space program.
Well, I'm in that here a couple of weeks ago, looking in the NASA files at some of the photographs and
could you spot them?
Yeah, it was just things just don't add up. Even today, you see clips on the TV. And
see, once somebody draws your attention to it, it's easy to spot, isn't it?
There's like when he comes down the ladder and the footprint's there, and there's no hole from the thrust from the 3-foot nose cone from the tender.
That's right.
And just going beyond the Van Allen belts and that, when you sit and really think about it, there's just too many things that don't add up, or we haven't been told, the whole story.
Yeah, very little of it adds up, to tell you the truth. It's the biggest scam there ever was. And the man who headed NASA during that period of time is now the great grand guru, dragon, umpity-ump, poo-poo wizard of the Council of the 33rd Degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., just 13 blocks from the Oval Office.
Oh, no. It's amazing.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Bill, do you remember the name of the movie you talked about here a while back? It's the movie where they're watching TV, but when they put their glasses on, they actually see what's going on.
Yeah, it's called They Live.
They Live. Okay, that was it. Because after reading...
That movie tells you the truth.
After reading Ominous Parallels and...
Yeah, the glasses are just a symbol for the ability to be able to identify them through their symbology and their language.
I've traveled through the country here. I was out in Vegas here just before Christmas. I went to the Luxor, and it was amazing. And just traveling through the towns and that, just seeing all the symbology that I can start to recognize now.
Oh, you really want to see a lot of it? Go to a cemetery.
I have. The older cemeteries, they're full of obelisks. And
you'll see so many people buried under penises, you'll wonder what in the world is going on.
And just, I was in Chicago, I grew up just out of Chicago. I was there back in Thanksgiving, and just driving through the streets of Chicago and seeing all the symbology that I saw as a kid, and it never dawned on me, and now that I kind of have my glasses on and I can kind of recognize these things. It's like, man, it's everywhere. It's amazing.
It is. It's everywhere. That's what the movie is. See, the movie is playing a joke on people.
Yeah.
They're watching it and they're thinking that it's an invasion of extraterrestrials. That movie has nothing to do with extraterrestrials. It's telling the truth about those who would destroy us being intermingled amongst us. Everybody's looking somewhere for an enemy. The enemy's standing right next to you.
enjoy it, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
And I've got 2 years of you on tape and slowly using my new radio to try to help out.
Good. Wonderful.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
And if you come across the tape where I was talking about Jefferson and saying, Franklin, don't play it, okay? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is John from Houston. Your caller a while ago, the guy who called you from Casper, Wyoming, he might be interested to know if he were to take a peek inside of the Scottish Rite magazine, he'll see that his buddy there, Alan Simpson, is one of the contributing editors to Scottish Rite magazine, and he is also a 33rd degree Mason.
Which Alan Simpson is that?
The senator from Wyoming.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay.
Alan Simpson's been a traitor. As a matter of fact, remember, it was the Simpson-Mazzoli bill under the guise of supposedly protecting us from all these illegal immigrants. They wanted to come out with a national
ID card
system.
Yeah, that's right.
He needn't worry about which side Alan Simpson stands on. He is definitely on the wrong side of the fence.
Yes, and so are most, if not all, of the rest of them.
Well, I know, because
some of them wittingly, some of them because they're just stupid.
Well, I had gotten into the Masonic Temple briefly back in 1980, and then when I saw what was going on, I got out of it. But before I came down, I was working at a TV station up in Sterling, Colorado, and the fellow who was the sales...
You got to hurry. I'm out of time.
Anyway, he was a Freemason, and he informed me at the time when I told him I was going to get into the Masonic Temple that about 47 out of the 50 governors were Freemasons, and a like number of the senators and congressmen were also Freemasons.
That's right. So are the hierarchy, the military structure. Got to let you go.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every one of you.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I